Okay, so today's daf is Vav, and we are probably near the bottom of Hayam and Aleph, actually. So we'll move on from there. The whole question that Kuntrukus, whatever his name was, asked Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai about how Moshe, he claimed that Moshe was dishonest because he wasn't using the full amount of silver that was donated, according to the Machzor Shekels, and the answer was that because the mona was double, rather than a mona being 100 dinars or 50 shekels, it was double, so it was 200. So the question was, where did he get that from? So we said, so the question we're talking about is minola. How does he know that it was koffel? So we started off by saying that he mentioned 1,700 in Parshas Pekudei, 1,775 shkolim. If it was normal, 1,500 shkolim would have been already a monis. A kikar. Kikar is 60 monis. So it should have already mentioned a kikar, but it doesn't. So that proves that there was monas shel kodesh must have been double. So it was 3,000. Shkolim into a kikar. So we said, no, maybe because it only added up to one, so it was 100. 100's a nice round number. If we got change of one kikar, we didn't bother saying one kikar, it just said 1,700 shkolim. So then we said, no, we learned it from the nechoshes. Yeah, so we'll sort of pick up the scene about 8 lines in the bottom. Nechoshes atnu for shivin kikar apayim abame shokel. That's the copper. The copper that was collected was 70 kikars and 2,400 shkolim. Harekan tishim b'shisha mona. So 2,400 shkolim should be 96 mona, because he does. 2,000 shkolim is 80 mona. Sorry, 2,000 pay mona mechol kuf. 80 mona per 100. So if you got 2,000, you multiply 80 by 1,000. It's a dollar. So you multiply it by whatever. You multiply. You get 16. No, so 2,000 is 80 monim per 100. 2,000 is 80 monim, full stop. For each 100, there's 4 monim. Because a mona is 25 sloim, right?
Yeah.
And a kikar is 100 sloim, right? So there's 4 monim in a kik.
What's the blood tough?
Tough is 200. So, that's 400, sorry. So, a payim is 2,000. 2,000 is 80 mona. Tough is the 400 arbameis, right? A payim arbameis. So, a payim is the payim, and the tough is the 400. 400 is 16 monim. So, altogether is 96 monim. Yeah? Now, there's 60 monim is already a kikar. So what are you doing telling me 96 monim? I mean, they should have added another kikar on, 2,400. Yeah? So, which is similar to what we said before. Once you got to 1,500, it should have been added on to the number of kikars. It shouldn't have been 2,400 shkolim mentioned separately. So he said, Lamanakas, well, the Prutra, tell you when it gives you 2,400, Shmamina Manashakarish, go below you. And therefore, 2,400 didn't add up to another kikar. So he says, no, Dilma Prata Rabba Kachoshi Bikikri. When you got a big number and you end up with a multiple number of kikars, so then it bothers translating it into kikars. But Prata Zuto, you end up with one kikar. It's like a Kachoshi Bikikri, it didn't bother. So it doesn't prove that it was double. It's just a way of speaking. Elam Rav Chizda Mehacha Ba Shekel. This is a Pasuk in Yecheskel. The Shekel was Esrim Geira. A Shekel was 20 Geira. And then it says that Esrim Shkalim, Chamisha Vesrim Shkalim, and Asara Vechamisha Shakel is Hamona Yelachem. Hamona is 20 Shkalim, and 25 Shkalim, and 15 Shkalim. You add all that together, you get, 60. Yeah? 60 60 shkali is a mana. Sorry, that's just that's not really part of the cheshbon. That's just a fact, right? 20 gera is a shekel, right? A stream gera shekel. You have that a chumash even a stream gera shekel. Okay, so that's just the beginning of the pasuk. The punchline though is that a mana was 20 shkalim plus 25 shkalim plus 15 shkalim, right? Altogether is 60, right? So what happened? They started, why is it mentioned like that? Because they started off saying it's 25 shkalim, which is what we've normally said, 25 shkalim is 100 dinrim, right? That's what's called mana. Mana is 100 dinrim to start with, the 25, but then suddenly they added on another 25 and another 15. Sorry, it started off with 20 and 25, and they ended up with 60. Right now, 60 shkolim and 4 dinrim in a shekel gives you 214 dinrim. Yeah, 60 shkolim, 240 dinrim. But it's saying over here that it's a mona. So what do you mean 214 dinars is a mona? A mona is supposed to be 100. Yeah, like 100 cents in a dollar. And you got 240, you're adding up 240 cents and you're saying, oh, that's a dollar. So what's going on here? Turn the page. The Hamastan Rabbi in Havya. Yeah, it's 240, 60 shkalim is 240 dinars. Yeah, and a mona is supposed to be 100. So how come 240 and you're saying it's a mona? Must have been double. So first of all, from the 100, now you get the 200. Yeah. So what's about the other 40? After it was 200, they recalibrated the exchange rate again to make it 240. So you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to devalue your currency. But not more than a sixth, right? So from 200, they made it to 240, which is of course a sixth. Milabar. Once you add up the total, Shmamino, Shtus Milabar. 1/6 of the total. There's, you know, in Gemara, there's two ways of calculating a sixth. So a sixth of the 240. So in other words, it started off, the base case was, there's 100 dinrim in a mona. But then a mona shal kodesh was 200 dinrim in a mona. And then they added on another 40. So they ended up with 240 and he calls it a mona. So that's where we get, that's how. And that cheshbon only works if a mona shel kodesh was double. So I'm a 200 shkolim. Okay. So therefore, Moshe wasn't a cheat, and we live happily ever after. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Sha'alti Yisrael B'Elezer, B'Beis Moist for Rabbo. I asked Rabbi Elezer, so now we thought, okay, thank you very much for bringing in all that currency exchange situation, just to try to wake us up in the morning. But then I asked Rabbi Eliezer in the Beis Moist for Rabbo, the big Beis HaMedrash. And my question was, Manishtanu, because it was Pesach, so he said Manishtanu, Pitre Chamoirim mi Pitre Susim Ugmali. The Torah says, okay, a kosher animal is a sheraget. And then it goes, a donkey. What's up with a donkey? Why is a donkey better than a horse? Why not a camel? What's up with a donkey? Is all my legs, there's a kosovi. He said, that God said so, basically. That's it. But oid, and aside from the fact that God said so, I have another svara, Shasiu Yisrael B'Shas Yitziyosem Mitzrayim. That's why I said Manishtana. Manishtana, because the donkeys helped him go out of Egypt. That was... We came just in time for a Manishtana and going out of Egypt. Okay. You could listen even before the brachas. Why are you saying brachas? Why is donkey special from all the unkosher animals? Because the donkeys helped them by Yetzias Mitzrayim to take out all the loot that they were looting. She'ein lecha kol echad v'echad miYisrael, that there was not, you couldn't find one Jew, shlo yehaya imo tishim chamorim lubim to'unim mikaspa v'zahava shel Mitzrayim, that didn't have, not one person who didn't have 90 donkeys. Lubim is the hoich donkeys, what were they called? Mu'ulim, yeah, the special donkeys, who carried gold and silver from Egypt. So that's why donkeys were special, and we have donkey petach hamoris. Okay. The next question was v'yoychaltiv, and then while I had Rabbi Eliezer in a good mood, I asked him another question. My lashon refidim, when the Jews came out of Egypt. So the first one of the first stops was refidim. In fact, the matan Torah v'yisum refidim. Yeah. So they traveled from refidim. Refidim was the name of a place. Why was it called refidim? Rabbi Lezer answered him, Yom Ali, Rafidim Shma. That's just the name I gave it. Why is this called Hotham Street? That's what it's called. And the Gemara adds in Kitanoi. This, whether Rafidim was just a stammer name that they liked the way it sounded or it had some meaning, is a machloikas tanoi. Rabbi Lezer and Rafidim Shma, Rabbi Lezer says it's just a name. Rabbi Shua Emma Sharipu Hasum of Divrei Torah, that they weakened from Divrei Torah. I didn't really have too much Divrei Torah at that point, but they weakened themselves. There it says the fathers and the sons didn't turn to each other because they were weak. They were weak in their Torah. So that's a machlokes about whether the name Refidim has any significance or not. Then Rabbi Chanina says, I also asked Rabbi Eliezer one more question at the same time. My Loshen Shittim. There was the Shittim was the plains. They stayed in Ovel HaShittim. That was where they had the Maisa with the Midianites. And the Midianite Zimri and Pinchas killed Zimri and Cosby. That was in Shittim. So why Shittim? We are Mali Shittim Shmark. Rabbi Lezer says that's just a name. Doesn't mean anything. And that is Ketanoi also. Rabbi Lezer Emesh Shittim Shmark. It's just a name. Rabbi Shua Emesh Nisasku Medir Eshtus. Shittim comes from Shtus. And they were in Shittim and they made a Shtus. What was the Shtus? That they went after these Midianite girls. What happened with the Midianite girls? So it says, they called the people, the Zivchei Elokeyim, to their Karbonis that they had for their Avodah Zarah. So he says, Rabbi Lezer, what do you mean by Tikrena? So he translates Vatikrena, almost like we said of Ki Ikore in Shluch HaKein, even though it was with an Aleph, Loshen of Tikrena, they happened to meet them. What do you mean they happened to meet them? They ambushed them on the side of the road, and Rabbi Lezer says, Arumos Pogu Behem. They were undressed, and that was that's how they seduced the men. Rabbi Shua Ayamash Anasa Kulam Balakrim. That the word Vatikrena means it turned them all into Balakriyim because the women were making themselves Efker, so that made all the men become Balakriyim. Okay, on that note, we'll move on. Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Parah Shayolda min Chamor, Vachamor de Shayolda kamin Sus, Petura min Achamor, Petura min Abachur, Petra Chamor, Petura min Abachura. There is no din of Bechur when, if the child that the cow had ended up looking like a donkey, or a donkey, which normally would have a petach hamor, they'd have to redeem the chulu. But the child that came out looked like a horse. There's no din of bechura. Shenemar petach hamor shnei pa'amim. It says twice the expression petach hamor, once in kadosh lichol bechur and shmois, and once in re'ei. Yeah, aser to aser. That we're going to read over there. Actually, hey, Avlad. Is that where it is? Petach Hamor. No, Petach Hamor is not in that parasha. Petach Hamor is. Who is that? No, that's the first one. Petach Hamor is this one. Yeah, but he says, Rashi says the second one. Oh, Re'eyatah, not Parshas Re'eyah, that's right. Okay, that will be tomorrow's laning in Kisisa, correct. That's got mixed up. Okay, so there's two times it uses the expression Petach Hamor. So therefore, why twice? Acha yoyleid chamor v'hanoyled chamor. To tell you both the mother has to be a donkey and the kid has to be a donkey. If they're somehow got a mutant and it didn't come out the same, there's no din of Petach Hamor. There's no din of Bechor.
A cow
gave birth to a donkey. It looks like a donkey. Whatever you want to know, genetically, the DNA, I don't know. But it looks like a donkey. What came out of the cow looked like a donkey. Yeah. So then that's not a bechor. Can you eat it? Here's a donkey walking around, but his mother was It had a Yiddish mama. It came from a Jewish cow. So can they eat the donkey or not? So says the Mishnah, behemet tahorah sheyoldu kamin behemet tmeyah. If you had an unkosher animal that came out of a kosher mother, is mutter b'achila. No? Yeah? A behemet tahorah sheyoldu kamin behemet tmeyah. The mother was kosher, and the child looks unkosher. Since the mother is kosher, is mutter b'achila. If you have an unkosher mother, even if what came out looks like a nice kosher cow, it's also bachila. Make sure you remember, just to make sure you don't get confused. The way to remember it is what comes out of something tome is tome. It all depends on the mother. Yeah, so that's it. Doesn't matter what the kid looks like. So that's it. Okay, says Tanan Hasa. We learned in the Mishnah. This is a Mishnah we already learned, actually. It's in the spirit. Rachel sheyolda min eiz, ve'eiz sheyolda min Rachel. If a sheep gave birth to something looking like a goat, I say it gave birth to a goat. It means, I don't know what you call the kid, but it looks like a goat. Yeah. So a sheep gave birth to a goat gave birth to a sheep, potter min abachur. Then it's not the same min, it doesn't have to do a bachur, but im yesh be mitzah simonim, if it at least in some ways looks like its mother, Mikta Simonim is Chayiv. Right? And the only way this potter is if it completely doesn't look at all like the species of the mother. Minohan Emili. So how do I know that? Amar Rav Yehuda, the Amar Kra. Ach Bechersher, it says, Pasuk says, Ach Bechersher. This is a Pasuk in... This is in Parshas Korach, when it talks about the Matnas Kahuna, right? So it says there, Bechur Shur, firstborn ox. Why Bechur Shur? Sheyehei Hushur u'Bechur Shur. That the father has to be an ox, and just the mother as well, and the Bechur has to be an ox. Bechur Kesev, Sheyehu Kesev u'Bechur Kesev. Bechur Eiz, Sheyehu Eiz u'Bechur Eiz. So the child has to be the same species as the parents. So therefore, if it's not the same species, it's not a bechur. You might think that even if it has some simonim the same as the parents, it's also not a bechur. So he says, Talmud Lomar ach cholak, that the word ach bechur shur means to say, an ach is always to exclude something. So I'm excluding from my exclusion, right? I excluded animals that don't look like the parents. But excluded from that exclusion is if it has miktsa simonim. Okay. So our Tana, our Mishnah said, how do you know that there's no bechur when a cow had a donkey or a donkey had a sus? Because it says petachamer twice. This Mishnah says, it's because it says Bechur Sher, Bechur Keser, Bechur Reis, that the child has to be the same as the parent. So it obviously doesn't agree with our Mishnah. So we have two Mishnayis that say the same halacha, but they learn from two different psukim. Is the question is, but my kamiflagi, so what's the argument between our Mishnah and that Mishnah? Tana Didon, Sovra, Tana Didon means our Tana, or at the moment means the Tana and our Mishnah right here. Sovar, Goli Rachbonga B'Kedushas Domim, that the Torah says by Petach Hamor, so he starts off with the Petach Hamor, and then he extrapolates it to a Bechur of a kosher animal. He says, a Petach Hamor, it says twice, to tell you that if the child doesn't look like a Hamor, then there's no firstborn, and you extrapolate from that the same thing by a kosher animal. So he says, Gala Rachmana Kedushas Domim. The Torah starts off by telling you by Kedushas Domim. A Petach Hamor is only Kedushas Domim. The donkey child is not a holy to be a korban, right? It's only Kedushas Domim. And who I did? Kedushas Daguf. And if Yasi Savar, no, the Torah is more likely to tell you the din by Kedushas Daguf. Savar Gala Rachmana Kedushas Daguf. So therefore, it starts, his pasuk is Bechur Shur, Bechur Kesev is by Kedushas Aguf. We're talking about Mamasha Bechur of a kosher animal. Who Adin, Kedushas Domim. And then we extrapolate Kedushas Domim. Yeah. The Gomak Kedushas Domim, Kedushas Aguf. We learn out that the same thing applies by the Chamer's child, that it has to look like a Chamer. We learn it out from Kedushas Aguf, just like the child of a Shur has to look like a Shur, the child of a donkey has to look like a donkey. Okay, so it's basically the mashmois of the psukim. Is the question is v'tana didon hay b'cher b'cher mayovidlay? So we're at no difference between chamor and donkey. No. Chamor is a donkey. It says twice peta chamor to teach you that the child has to be a donkey. If a mother donkey had a child that looks like a horse, then there's no din of b'cher there, right? So the question is, our Tana, who learns the whole concept out from the fact that it says twice Petah Chamor, is Hai Becher Becher Mayavilei. So what does he? Why does he? According to him, what pasuk that says Becher Sher Becher Kesa Becher is? Why does it say so many times Becher over there? And to the Gemara, Miboyle Lechir Rav Yosi Rav Chanina. He learns it like Rav Yosi Rav Chanina. The Amar Rav Yosi Rav Chanina Lama Nemru Emurim Be Becher Sher. So in that pasuk there, it says what in Parshas Kairach. Ach becher sher, becher kesev, becher reis. Lo sifta, you can't redeem them. Kodesh hem, that means if they're not a balmum, you can't redeem them because they're holy. And what do you do with a becher of a kosher sher and kesev that is holy? As domam tizrek al mizbeach, you have to throw the blood on the mizbeach. V'yas chelbam taktir, and the fats, the chelav, you put on the mizbeach also, like it's a carpet, in other words. Yeah. So why does it have to say emurim means the fats that you put on the mizbeach? That's a lashon of emurim. So why did it have to say emurim b'becher sher, emurim b'becher kesev, and emurim b'becher reis? Why do you have to say it, all three of them, b'becher sher, b'becher kesev, b'becher reis? Why does it have to say all three of them? By the way, you got to put them on the mizbeach. Says the Gemara, you need all three. Now these are the three things that a carbon can be made out of. Yeah, a sher, a kesev, and an reis. Those are the three categories. So why does that have to say specifically by each one to put it on the mizbeach? And tell me once, and I know. So he says like this: if it told me that by an ox, firstborn ox, you got to do the blood and the chaylev, you got to put the chaylev on the mizbeach, I would say, oh, it's a special thing. Shekenis rabba b'nisachim, because oxen have more nisachim. Yeah, the niskeim. And only shnei estrenim la'ayil, and only isorin la'keves. So an ox has the most wine, and also the same thing with oil and the flour that goes on the mizbeach. So therefore, you'd say, oh, that we know that an ox has more things. So therefore, an ox becher has to be a korban. But who says that a sheep becher or a goat becher has to? Therefore, the Torah had to tell you the other two. Kesev. Similarly, you wouldn't learn from Kesev to the other two. Kenis Rabba Ba'alya. A Kesev has a tail. Yeah, if you learn in the parashas by Vayikra, when it talks about the Shlomims, so it talks there about a Shur and a Kesev and an Ace. The Kesev you have to give a... The Kesev has a tail, right? Kesev has a tail. So therefore you would say, okay, something with a tail, that has to be a korban, but a poor old goat that doesn't have the sochim or a tail, so maybe he's out of the picture. So therefore it has to tell you a goat. Why doesn't it tell you a goat? And then you wouldn't have to worry about telling me the other ones. But A's, it has to tell me about a goat. A goat is special, that when an individual does a verezora, his korban chatas is a goat. That's the ear, easy. And therefore you would say, okay, so the goat is special, that's why it needs to be a korban, but the other two maybe not. And therefore you cannot learn one from the other. Each one has its special yichus, and therefore you have to tell me all three, the ox and the goat and the sheep, that a firstborn has to be a korban. So the Gemara tries again and says, chada mechada layasya. Okay, if you would only tell me one, I wouldn't be able to learn out one from the other. Maybe I can learn one of these cute binyanav mishnei suvims. Tell me two out of three, and I'll learn out the third one from there. So the Gemara says, okay, let's try. Which one could you learn miss out? Lo lifta rachmana b'sher v'teisim mehanach. The Torah didn't say b'cher sher, and you would learn it out from a kesev and a eiz. You wouldn't be able to, because malahanach shekein itzrab weitzel psachim. So much Pesach stuff here. Yeah, because a carbon Pesach can only be a sheep or a goat, and not an ox. So therefore, if I left that ox, you'd say, just like an ox can't be a carbon Pesach, Everyone knows Bechor and Maaser and Pesach goes together. So just like you cannot have a Shur as a Korban Pesach, you cannot have a Shur as a Bechor. For a Korban, it wouldn't be a Korban. So you have to say Shur. Lo lichta b'kesa, leave out the sheep. V'teisa mehanach, and learn from the other two. Malahanach shekedi shraboy, slavos yichavim b'tzibur. The Shur and the which is a sotir, the bull and the goat are the two karbonis tzibur. When the tzibur does a verizara, they bring a par and a sotir. Yeah. So therefore, but the sheep is left out, so maybe it doesn't need to be a bechor either. Learn if the rachmana be'ez, you want to leave out the goat with taste of mehanach and learn it out from the ox and the sheep. Malahanach sheken yesh ben sad ribi etzel mizbeach. Both of them have something extra. The sheir has extra nesachim, and the sheep has extra tail. Yeah, so maybe the goat should be left out. Hilchos tzricha, therefore you need all three. Okay, so that is what our Tana is going to do with the pasuk of b'chur sheir, b'chur kesh, and b'chur eitz. V'Rabbi Yosi Aglili, who learns from b'chur sheir, b'chur kesh, and b'chur eitz, to tell me that if the child doesn't look like the mother, there's no b'chur, is how does he know all this stuff? It could have just said bechur. It could have said the word bechur once, and then said a bechur of a shur and a kesev and a eiz, and I would know all three. Bechur, bechur, lamali. Why does it have to say bechur shur, bechur kesev, bechur eiz? It has to say the word bechur each time. Shma mina, atcha yehu shur, bechur shur. That we learn about both things. Now we learn also that each animal has to look like its parents. Okay, so that's what Rabbi Yosi Aglili learns, and we also know what our Tana does with Rabbi Yosi Aglili's pasuk. So the final piece of the pasuk is Rabbi Yosi Aglili, hi petachamer, petachamer, my obidle. What does Rabbi Yosi Aglili do with our Tana's pasuk? That it says petachamer twice, and that's how we learned out that the mother and the son have to look the same. Rabbi Yosi Aglili doesn't need that because he learns it from Bechor Sher and Bechor Kesev. So what does Rabbi Yosi Aglili do with the fact that it says petachamer twice? What does it say twice, my obidle? After the Gemara, Meboil of the Chedetanya. Like it says in the Braisa, and it's Rabbi Yosi Aglili himself in the Braisa who tells you what he does with the pasuk. Rabbi Yosi Aglili Omer, mitoch shenemar ach padei sifta es bechera adam, that you must redeem the firstborn child with your $5 for the koyin. V'yes bechera behema tmeya, and the unkosher animal, which is our good old donkey, is also tifta. You have to redeem him. Shemeya ani. So bechera behema tmeya, that pasuk doesn't say donkey. That just says unkosher animal. What do you do with the firstborn animal of an unkosher species? You have to redeem it and give it to the koyin. So therefore, you would think shemayani afilu pitre susim ugemalim. So behemoth meya could be anything. Could be horses and camels. You wouldn't know that it's only a donkey. Talmud lemar petachamor. It has to be a petachamor. Petachamor amartilach. Only the firstborn donkey. Beloy pitre susim ugemalim. And not horses and camels. Okay, so that's why it has to say once petachamur, to say dafka donkey and not other animals. But I died on yomer. I might have thought still petachamur b'seh. Okay, so I know the firstborn donkey is different from the firstborn camel and horse. But I would have thought, okay, a firstborn donkey you redeem with a sheep, and pitre susim mugmalim are not as special. And behold, over you can redeem them with anything you like, not necessarily a sheep. Top of the page. How do I know that there's no bechur at all by a donkey, but by a horse and a camel? Tama lemer petachamur petachamur shtei pa'amim. Pitre chamurim amarti lechav aloi pitre susim magmalim, to exclude that horses and camels, there's no bechur at all. Okay, so that's the psukim. That's what they learn. Everybody agrees in all the halachas. It's just a question of which psukim they learn from. Ravachi asked another question. What do you mean that these two psukim that you got to spare petachamor? Because of rachmanachad, if the Torah would only say it once, it means it's not spare. How can you learn out from the spareness of it, from the superfluousness of the second one? No, if the Torah would only say once petachamor, havamina, I would say, you know what? Davar shahaya bichlal v'yotza min haklal lelamed. We have the concept of Rabbi Shmuel, that something that was part of a general rule and came out of that rule to teach you something, lo lelamed al asma yotza, el lelamed al kalkula yotza. Yeah, it's telling you to learn everything else out from it. Yeah, and therefore what? A donkey was in part of the zoo with all the other unkosher animals. Yeah, the Torah told you a special thing by a donkey. So lo the lamr latzma yotza, that you have to redeem it with a sheep. All unkosher animal firstborns have to be redeemed with a sheep. Yeah, and the ola olam b'seh kasav rachmana. Is this the answer over here? That's a lamr lakal kula yotza. Ola olam b'seh. That full stop. And therefore, all unkosher animals have to be redeemed with a sheep. So therefore, how can you tell me the second Petach Hamor is superfluous? It's not superfluous at all, because if you only had one, you would extrapolate to all the other ones. And says the Gemara, you're right, but I have three Petach Hamor psukim. Kasa Rachmana Petach Hamor Achrina. The Torah actually says a third time Petach Hamor, which is somewhere else, to tell you Petach Hamor Yemalei Petach Susim Mugmalim. It says three times. Petach Hamor Tifteves. That's a third time. Yeah, I'm not sure where that third one is. Petach Hamor. It says Petach Hamor Achrina. Yeah, I'm trying to work out where the third one is. Mikra Acher, Rashi says, "Tabla Mikra Acher, Petach Hamor Tifta." So there must be a third one. He doesn't tell where the third one is. Okay. So the question is, even that third one, Ema Miatina Miseh. Maybe that third one is just to tell you that you don't need a sheep. Lo Olam B'chol Dover, but maybe you still need to redeem a firstborn camel and horse. Azim Ken Lita Brachvara answers the Gemara. If so, the Torah should say Petach Hamor. It could have just told you Chamor. It didn't have to say Petra twice. Why did it say Petra twice? That Pitra Chamor Pitra Susa Mugmali. To exclude horses and camels. Okay, so now our Tana, who used that pasuk to exclude things that don't look the same as their parents, he doesn't have that extra Petach Hamor pasuk. It's Tana Didon, the Me'utei Susim Gmali Minole. If you're going to use the pasuk to exclude a child animal that doesn't look the same as the mother, so where do you get an extra pasuk to exclude horses and camels? Zomar of Papa, here's another one. Kol Miknechati Zohar, all of your flock, you should take out the male firstborns, is a klal. That is a... That's a general rule. Kol miknecha, shervus seva chamor, and then it mentions an ox and a sheep and a donkey is prat, is specifics. Klalu prat. So one of Rabbi Shmuel's rules of learning the Torah is that if you have a general rule followed by specifics, ein bechlal ella masha befrat. That means the examples are explaining what I meant by that rule. That I didn't mean everything. I meant only the things that are specifically listed. Sherva seva chamor ein. So therefore, kol minechob tizocha peta sherva se, and the next word is a peta chamor. So it mentions those three. So when I told you that you have to take the firstborn of all of your flock, I didn't mean all of your flock. I meant the three things that I listed of sher and se and chamor. Midi achrini loy, and nothing else. That seems very good. So why does Rabbi Yosi Aglili need the two Petach Hamor psukim that we mentioned before, Ebazoi? Why can't he just learn from here? Because Rabbi Yosi Aglili will tell you that in that pasuk, the word Peter hifsika inyan. It says, Komin lechati zachar, Peter sher v'seh, and then Petach Hamor again. The word Peter in the middle between the sher and seh and the chamor is hifsika inyan. So therefore, you can't make it a klal prat anymore, yeah? Because petach hamor sounds like it's a new thing. So the rabbanon will say because it says ufetach hamor vav hader arvikra. Even though the word fetter is in the way, but when it says ufetter, that means and puts them back together again. That it's all one list of specifics to go together with the original klal. And Rabbi Yosi Aglili says I don't like that limud. Because if that's what the Torah wanted to do, to tell you that the Sher and the Seh and the Chamor all go together, Lelichtev, Loivav, Loipeter. What do you need? Just put the word Peter in there to separate them, and then put a Vav in to put them back together again. Don't separate them, and you want it to put them back together. Just leave it out altogether. But Rabbanon, according to Chachamim, no, the Torah had to separate the Sher V'Seh from the Chamor, i.e. the Hakdush as Domim, Hakdush as Guf, because the Sher V'Seh is going to be a Korban. And the Peter Chamor is not going to be a Korban. It's only going to be a financial thing that you have to give the money to the Kohen or the sheep to the Kohen. Therefore, Pasuklu. So the Torah needs to distinguish between the Sher V'Seh on the one hand and the Chamor on the other. But having made that distinction, Hadar Ariv Lahu, to tell you that it's a list of pratim to go together with the klal, and we will say klal uprat and bechlal ella masha befrat, and no other animals have the concept of a firstborn to make it special. Okay, now the Gemara goes back and discusses relating to our Mishnah. We talked about if the mother gave birth to an animal that doesn't look the same. Iboilu, the next question, parasha yolda min chamor. So we talked to the Mishnah, mentioned the example of Parash Yodah Min Chamor, and then it went on to, yeah, the Mishnah doesn't actually talk about the case of Mitzah Simonim. The other Mishnah said, if a goat gave birth to a sheep, and a sheep gave birth to a goat, if it has some signs the same as its species, then it's a Bechor. What happens if it gave birth to a donkey, but there's a little bit of cow in the donkey? Parash Yodah Min Chamor, the mother gave birth to a donkey, so at face value, it's not a bechor. But yesh by mikta simonim, but it has certain characteristics in which it looks like a cow. It's mahu. What is the din there? When the Mishnah says a goat that gave birth to a sheep and a sheep that gave birth to a goat, is it eis shayaltum in rachav or rachav shayaltum in eis? That is where chiyesh by mitzah simoni, when it looks a little bit like the mother, is chayeves bebechura, then it is a bechur, because at least hatahira v'hatahira, at least a sheep and a goat are both kosher animals. So if a sheep gave birth to a goat, if that goat has at least one thing that looks like a sheep, then we'll say, no, he's an ugly goat, he's an ugly sheep, whatever he is, and therefore he can be a bechur. But they're both kosher animals, at least. But ha, kedush taguv, sorry, and ha kedush taguv, ha kedush taguv. And both of those kosher animals, the seh and the eis, they both have the same din, that they're a korban. Abrahacha, when the cow gave birth to a donkey, the hot may have a hot tahira, the donkey is unkosher and the cow is kosher. The cow's child would be a korban and the donkey's child would not be. Maybe that it's not a bechor even with mitzah simonim. Oy dilma. Or do we say, Kevin the Kodesh, or maybe we say, forget about the details. The fact is that both of them have the concept of a Bechor, and therefore if a cow gave birth to a donkey, as long as that donkey has something that looks like a cow, it has a din of a Bechor. So that was question number one. If you will decide that the answer is that Kevin the Kodesh, that since both of them have the concept of a Bechor, therefore this donkey, this baby cow that looks like a donkey but looks a little bit like a cow is going to be a bechor. Is the question is, what about if a chamor yoldom in sus? Mahu, what happens if the donkey gave birth to a horse and it has certain characteristics that it looks like a donkey? Do we say, ha chavadai loy, sorry? Chamor yoldom in sus. The donkey gave birth to a horse. If a donkey gives birth to a donkey, it's a bechor. If a donkey gives birth to a horse, it's not a bechor. If a donkey gives birth to a horse, and the horse has a few simonim in which it looks like a donkey, does that few simonim enough to make it a bechor or not? Do we say that hachavadai loy bas mikdash bebechorahu? Now you're drawing too long a bow. A horse is a horse, of course, and a donkey gave birth to a horse, so therefore it's for sure too far away, and it's not going to be a bechor. Oy dilma. Do we say, Kivin de Mint Mayahu, this is one unkosher animal, it's another unkosher animal. So even though it looks like a horse instead of a donkey, but it's in the same direction. They're both unkosher animals, and therefore Kodesh, it should be a Bechor, as long as it has some sim on it. And Imtim Saloimar, Kivin de Mint Mayahu Kodesh, if you'll tell me that when the donkey gave birth to the horse, that since they're both unkosher animals, that's close enough, is good enough. and therefore that animal will be a bechor. What about a parva sheyaldo min sus? So it's like two levels away. Yeah, the cow gave birth to a horse, and it's not even something that has a bechor. Before we talked about a cow gave birth to a donkey, so the donkey you could handle and say, well, at least the donkey is also a concept of a bechor. But a cow gave birth to something that bechlal is not a concept of bechor. Mahu. Do we say here the chayra hacha vaday hatahira tmeyo despeklish b'bechura v'leibin b'bechura? Do we say for sure in this case the cow is kosher, the donkey is not kosher? The cow is something that makes bechurs, and a horse doesn't have bechurs, and therefore the chayra you would say very confidently that this horse is not holy. Or do we say, well, as long as it's got one characteristic in which it looks like a cow, so that's a simon, and it's good enough to make it a bechor. Is that all the questions? Is Toshima behemoth to Hirish Yaldamin behemoth tzmeya? A kosher animal gave birth to something that looks like an unkosher animal. Ptura min a bechura. So that's like the cow and the horse. Yeah, is potter from bechor. But im yesh boy mitzah simonim. If it has some characteristics in which it looks like the kosher animal, the mother chayevus a bechura, then it is a bechor. Now, it doesn't say which animals we're talking about. It just says a kosher animal and an ish-kosher animal. Is my love, isn't the pshat over here, I feel the kosher animal, for example, a cow. The unkosher animal, for example, a horse. And if it has mikta simonim, said the Mishnah, that it's kosher. That it's not kosher, it's a bechor. Answer the Gemara, what's the case where a kosher animal gave birth to a non-kosher animal and it looks a little bit like the kosher animal? Is parash yoldom in chamur, because at least both of them are involved in the concept of bechor. But a cow, I can tell you, a cow that gave birth to a horse is not going to be a bechor at all. Okay, next one. Tashema, parash yoldom in chamur, a donkey, a cow that gave birth to a donkey, a chamur yoldom in sus, this is our Mishnah, a donkey that gave birth to a horse. So this is not a Mishnah because it's a Brice and it continues further. If it looks a little bit like the mother is Chayavis to Bechura. So now we have two examples. The cow gave birth to a donkey. The donkey gave birth to a horse. In each case, if they look a little bit like the mother, then they're going to have to be a Bechur. It's my love, Atravayu. So that statement at the end, if it has Mitzah Simonim, maybe that goes all the way to the end. That if the horse came from a cow, but it looks a bit like a cow, then it's a Bechur. So the Gemara says, no, they're all distinct cases. Parah sheyolda min chamur, if it looks a bit like the mother, is going to be a bechor. Av a chamur sheyolda min sus, but a donkey. So then what are you telling me? That a donkey that gave birth to a horse and it doesn't look like a donkey, and even if it looks a bit like a donkey, you want to tell me it's not going to be? But the Maikatanila, so why mention it? Liptura, just to tell me that it's potter, but not to tell me that it's chayiv when it's mitzvah simonim, is pshita, that's obvious. When a horse gives birth to a donkey, they're both involved in the concept of bechor, the horse and the cow and the donkey. Amarta, and then you said that only if the donkey has some aspects that it looks like a cow, then it's a bechor. But Eloi, if it doesn't look like a cow at all, it's not a bechor. It's chamur d'shayolda min sus, me boy. If the donkey gave birth to a horse and the horse doesn't look at all like a donkey, you need to tell me. So why mention it at all? Yeah, there's the chayv. The fact that you mention the donkey that gave birth to a horse is to tell me on the contrary that if it does look a little bit like the mother, then it is a bechor. Says the Gemara, nein, itzrich. You still need to tell me that a donkey that gave birth to a horse is bechal nish, because you would have thought hasam would yesh the kanaim or in the kanaim. When the cow gave birth to something that gave birth to a donkey, even though they're both in bechur land, but the cow has horns and the donkey doesn't. Yeah, ha prasa ser seduka. It's a cow with split hooves, but ha prasa ser kluta. It's a donkey doesn't. Aval hacha. But when the donkey gave birth to a horse. Donkeys and horses are very similar. They both don't have horns. And they both don't have split hooves. When the horse came out of the donkey, you know, you'd say, this can grace a bucky in donkeys and horses. I'd say that this is really a donkey, and it's a red. It's a little bit of a good-looking donkey. So it looks like a horse instead. If it looks like a donkey, if it looks like a horse and it smells like a horse, and it is a horse, then it's not a bechor. All right, leave it there.